That's my handy-dandy travel guitar stand. That's why I don't travel with it. You know what? Just right, Pastor Addy, just right on the floor is fine. Just right on the carpet. Just lay it down flat is fine. Either way. Thank you. Love your pastor, by the way. Love his heart. And wow. Well, I have this much to share, and I have this much time, so I wish I could give you a pill, but I can't. So what we'll do is we'll just dive in, and the Lord is good at dealing with time. I've found one of the names, this has nothing to do with my message, but this is for free. One of the names that we often refer to Jesus by, especially at Christmas time, is out of Isaiah 9. You know, all the names that we say, you know, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. And one of the names, and this is actually prophesying about Jesus, and it calls him Everlasting Father. And that's Jesus. And I love that. But you know, that name can actually be as legitimately translated Father of Eternity. I love that. Anyone else get stressed by time restrictions sometimes? And it's almost like the Lord is saying, do you know what? I've got your back. Relax. I'm the Father of Eternity. Amen? Okay, so what I want to share with you about this morning is a huge, huge, huge topic, and we'll look at just a tiny bit of it, and it's simply this. It's honoring the ones that God honors. And this is such a big deal, and I need to be reminded of these things frequently, because so many times the ones that the Lord honors in Scripture, and by the way, I just need to preface this by saying, the Lord loves you so much, okay? That's a good place to say amen. Amen. He loves you so much because he loves you. That's the reason. It's not based on what you do for him. Right? He invites us to be in the family business, which is so great, but that's just another extension of the love that he has for us. He actually likes you. Yeah? He likes to have you around. But his love for you is not based on what you can do for him. Somebody needed to hear that today. He loves you because he loves you. Amen, 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 amen. That's probably good enough to send you home. We'll see you later. But I wanted to preface it that the Lord's value for each individual on the planet is, I mean, it's inestimable how much love that he has for each individual. And I'm saying that because clearly from Scripture, there are a number of groups of people who do get an extra measure of the Lord's attention. Is that okay to put it that way? It's the truth. Okay? There's a number of groups of people, and one of them we'll take this much time to talk about this morning. And Jesus refers to them in Matthew 25. He calls them the least of these. Familiar with that expression, the least of these? This is on our way to Matthew 18. We will get there. For our purposes this morning, the definition of the least of these, and I understand this is not a complete definition by any means, but it'll do. That means someone who can't pay me back. Okay? Just to put it at its most simple bottom line, it means somebody who can't pay me back. And in Matthew 25, in so many words, Jesus Christ himself says that he takes these things personally. It is that big a deal to God. In other words, when you do something for someone who cannot pay you back, and I have to just run down this rabbit trail for a moment to say that I recognize something that even in this room right here, I know there are a number of you, I'm describing your life. Okay? I want you to know that I'm aware of that. In other words, you're all about pouring yourself out for other people. That's just what you do. But I want you to know something. The Lord is so honored when we minister to someone else because of the love we have for them. And I would go so far as to say, because this is absolutely reality, if you have been born again by the Spirit of born from above, if you do know the Lord, that it is actually the Lord in you loving someone else. Okay? Just so we're on the same page. I'll describe what I'm talking about. But I just want you to know, I recognize that some of you here, you're constantly looking after someone. Maybe it's someone in your family, or you're ministering to someone, or you're taking care of someone, or someone's, if it's a group of people, as in the case of Pastor Addy and Anna. pouring themselves out for other people all the time. It would never enter your mind or your heart that you're doing that for what you can get off the relationship. It's not about that, is it? It's about the love that you have for them. But and again, if you know the Lord, it actually is the Lord in you loving someone through you. This is something that happens to me fairly frequently, especially the last few years, because I travel a lot. But I know some of you a little bit. But I'll be in front of a group of people, and sometimes a really, really large group of people, and I don't know anyone. I don't know anyone. And I'll be sharing, and all of a sudden, I'll just feel like, oh my goodness, I love these people. And friends, I'm not that nice. If my wife were here, she would confirm this, okay? And it's the Lord, he'll remind me and he'll say, Jay, I'm letting you in on this much of how I feel about these people. Yeah? Both as a group, but also as individuals. I'm letting you in on a tiny, tiny, tiny part of my heart. Isn't that neat? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But Matthew 25, that's where Jesus talks about, oh, Lord help. I don't have time to unpack it, but that is the passage where Jesus says there's going to come a day when he's going to say to us, he's going to say, I was hungry. You gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. You gave me something to drink. I was naked. You clothed me. I was a stranger. You invited me in. I was in prison. You visited me. On and on and on it goes. And then he says this. He says, and I'm telling you, friends, you need to understand something. Whatever you did for one of the least of these, you actually for real did that for me, says Jesus. And I'm emphasizing that really strongly because there has been some strange teaching around that, particularly that verse in Matthew 25. This is my point. When Jesus says that, whatever you did for one of the least of these, you did that for me, that is not a metaphor, right? This is not Jesus being poetic. He's saying, friends, this is reality. All of heaven sees it this way. Right from the throne of my Father, all of the angels of heaven, the witness cloud, all of heaven recognizes this reality that you actually for real did that for me, says Jesus. Yay, God. Does that sound like worship to anybody else? Outside the walls of this sanctuary. Yeah, it's a life of worship, right? And it's also an invitation, and what an amazing promise from the Lord that all of heaven sees this and recognizes it. Of course, then there's a very sobering warning on the other side of what Jesus says in Matthew 25. And he says to me personally, he says, Jay, whatever you didn't do for one of the least of these, you didn't do for me. But for our time this morning, we're going to focus on the first part, if that's okay. So there's this massive group of people whom the Lord calls the least of these who can't pay me. By the way, I qualify, at least to some extent. I qualify in the sense that I could never pay the Lord back. You with me? So at least in that regard, I'm among them. Under the umbrella of this huge group who are so prominent in the heart of God, whom Jesus calls the least of these, in the Gospels, okay, so that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there's a group of people that get even more attention, and particularly from Jesus himself. And they qualify as being among the least of these, but they're a subcategory that get even more, seemingly more than their share of airtime. Who am I talking about? Anyone? I heard it. It's the children. You may not have noticed that before, but you will now. Next time you're reading through Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, you'll see how many times Jesus refers to the children. It's remarkable. And some of you right now, you're thinking, verses are coming to your mind. You know, let the little children come to me. Forbid them not. The kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, Jesus says. And then he says to adults, he says, you adults, you can't even get in. You cannot even enter, says Jesus, unless you humble yourself and become like a little child in your heart. And on and on and on and on and on. Matthew 18 is one of those passages where Jesus is specifically talking about children. And we're going to start with verse 10. Actually, even before we do that, I want to read verse 5, only because this is so reminiscent of what we mentioned in Matthew 25. Remember, Jesus said, he's saying, Jay, and you can insert your name there, okay? Whatever you have done for one of the least of these, you actually, literally, for real, did that for me, says Jesus. But look what he says in Matthew 18. He says, whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. Very similar, isn't it? And again, that's not just poetry. That's not a metaphor. Jesus is saying this is actually reality. So all of a sudden, children's ministry takes on a huge import, yeah, within the church, even though children can't really do a lot for you. You with me? Okay? I mean, think about it. Jesus, in Matthew 18, he's talking about little kids. And just think about this. A little child, they're not likely to introduce you to influential people. They're not going to advance your career, right? They're not going to add to your bank account. They're going to drain your bank account. Yeah? Look at verse 10, though. This is, to me, this is what I want to focus on. Verse 10 in Matthew 18 is actually in the imperative tense in the original language. I want to impress you with my Greek prowess this morning. It's something, I wouldn't call it a miracle, but it is grace that I passed 2 years of Greek. I'm familiar with souvlaki, but I know what books to look things up in, so that's helpful. And this actually is in the imperative tense. And the reason that's important and the reason I'm mentioning it all is that this means this is actually a command. That's my point, okay? Jesus is actually, this is not a suggestion or a helpful hint from Jesus. This is a command to his disciples. How many here are disciples of Jesus? Me too, okay? Followers of Jesus. And he says this. He says, see to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones. One translation actually says, see to it that you don't despise any of these little ones. Even stronger language. And I don't know if anyone else has this reaction when you first read this, but did anyone else think, I like kids, you know, for the most part. I don't despise, I wouldn't look down on kids. Two things. First of all, to keep in mind, Jesus is talking about children in general, and I would say in 2018, he's talking about children around the planet. Children, not your own children. And I'm not making a joke. There is a difference. Your children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren, if you're at that stage of your life, it's the way that God has wired us. You would do anything for them, right? If there's some health going on, you'd do anything for your kids. They're usually at the top of your prayer list through their entire life, right? You're holding them up to the Lord and asking God to bless them. That's different. And by, you know, this is really profound, I know, but have you ever noticed if your own child, again, I'm just talking about a little kid, if they have a runny nose, that can be cute, right? If it's somebody else's kid, I know, ew, it's gross, nasty. So Jesus is talking about children in general, and I believe he would say this, even in 2018, for most of the planet, I know he says this is to me, and again, this is insert your name here if you want to put your name in there, Jay, for most of the planet, children are not held in very high esteem. They're just not. Why? Because they can't do anything for you. In many parts of the world, they're tolerated at best. Yeah? So the Lord is saying, don't look down on them. Even though they can't do anything for you, don't look down on them. They're here in God's economy. In the heart of the Father, they're so, so prominent. You got to move on. And then he says this, what do you think? And just some more editorial comment here. I've heard this passage taught repeatedly, and I've probably done it myself with regard to evangelism in general. And I'm not criticizing, by the way, because it does apply. And I think that's fine. As long as we recognize that at least in Matthew 18, when Jesus is saying this, he is specifically talking about children. Yes, he is. When he says this, what do you think? If a man owns 100 sheep and one of them wanders away, will he not leave the 99 on the hills and go to look for the one that wandered off? And if he finds it, I tell you the truth. This is Jesus speaking. He is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. In the same way, let me tell you some more about your Father's heart, Jesus says. In the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should be lost. I skipped a part there. I skipped ahead partly because it's difficult and there's a huge mystery. I need to at least mention it. When Jesus gives the command, don't look down on kids, don't look down on little children, this is the King of Kings speaking. Are we in agreement? This is the Lord. He does not need to explain anything. And yet so often he does. And this is one of those instances. He gives a command to his followers, and that's me, and that's us. And then he doesn't need to, but he explains the command. But the explanation is so strange. He says, don't look down on any of these little ones, and here's why. For I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven. and I'm going to take very little time to unpack this because, well, there's so much mystery here. But one of the things that's not mystery, okay, because it is clearly, Jesus is clearly stating is this. Friends, heaven has invested everything in these kids to the point that each one of them have been assigned actual created heavenly beings. Elsewhere in Scripture, they're called the elect angels. Hebrews chapter 1, it says, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? He makes his angels winds, his servants flames of fire. I understand this is so strange, by the way. Okay? What a strange thing to say. I don't claim to fully understand it. But again, remember who is speaking. This is Jesus himself. I believe part of his point is to say this. Most of you, most of the time, will not be aware of these angels around these children. Most of you, most of the time, cannot see them. You will not be aware of their presence at all, which is precisely why I'm telling you, says Jesus, they are there. Wow. Wow. Okay. So there's more going on than meets the eye when it comes to children. This is what the Lord is saying. Be careful when it comes to the children. How many here have heard of D.L. Moody? Do you recognize the name D.L. Moody? Oh, wow. Okay, bunch of you. He's one of my heroes of the faith. I have a list, but he's certainly up there. D.L. Moody lived in the 1800s. He was a great, great man of God. He died in 1899, so he's in heaven. And we will actually meet him in heaven. I love that. This is the truth, friends. I love it. But I want you to consider this. This one man in the 1800s personally led thousands and thousands and thousands of people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. One guy. Before the internet. Okay? Before the travel we have today. Just consider this. How many think that's supernatural? That's, you know, that's John 15. That's being connected to the vine. And Jesus said, if you remain in me, my word remains in you, you will bear much fruit. And this is to my Father's glory. That's supernatural fruit. There's just no other way to explain thousands and thousands and probably tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of people. We will meet in heaven. Lord, shake me with this truth, yeah? Shake me with this because this is real. We will actually meet in heaven thousands and thousands and thousands, probably tens of thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands of people who came to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ through the ministry of D.L. Moody. Let that percolate just for a moment. Just imagine, we're going to have all these people will come up to us and they'll say, you know what? I came to know Jesus through that man over there. See him? Well, there he is. That's D.L. Moody. He's a good guy. You should go shake his hand. This is for real. This is reality. And yet, this is why I mention it, a statement that he made as an old man looking back on his life, he said this. He says, if I could relive my life, I would devote my entire ministry to reaching children for God. Isn't that wild? Let me try this side. If I could relive my life, okay, so says a man who's already led thousands and thousands to Jesus, if I could do it again, I would devote my entire ministry 100% to children, reaching children for God. Why would he say that? I know I'm putting words in his mouth, but I know he had seen with his own eyes so many times the incredible impact that it has on families and communities, even on nations, when children come to know Jesus. It's just the truth. Yeah? Amen, amen, amen. So all that to say, and I really am trying to shrink the story, friends, it is a tremendous honor for me to represent the Ministry of Compassion Canada here today. I'm not an employee of Compassion, by the way, so I can say whatever I want. But I do love these folks so much, and some of my dear friends, Amy and her son John Esperaz, are here. Amy actually is an employee of Compassion, and she knows what she's talking about. But these people, in my opinion, are doing what D.L. Moody said he wished he would have done. You with me? And I'm talking about in the field, around the planet, wherever they minister, absolutely pouring themselves out 100% into the lives of these children. When you see what God's doing as a result, it's off the scale. And that's, I think, the biggest part of why I'm here today, is try to relate some of that to you. There are two distinctives. Of all the things I could say about this ministry, there are two things that have absolutely blown away my wife and myself. They're just absolutely shaken us to the core in a really, really good way. The first is by far the most important thing that I'll say about them, and that's this. It's their absolute commitment to evangelism and discipleship. That is the calling of the Lord on this ministry, compassion. Okay, I have a list of favorites. And all the ones I'm thinking of, they're all wonderful. They have various callings. Number one, evangelism and discipleship. Yes, they minister to physical needs of children. So in that sense, they're an aid organization, I suppose. But their first and foremost calling is evangelism and discipleship. Just to put this in perspective, some of you probably took the time to look at the pictures on the table when you first came in. And you know that those pictures are of children who really are at this moment waiting to be sponsored. Okay? Just want to emphasize that. Just consider this. Purely based on the numbers, purely based on statistics of what's been happening up until this moment, for years up until this moment, I can tell you with absolute confidence that the vast, vast majority of those kids whose pictures are on those tables right now, once they are sponsored, now get this, they will come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Oh, come on! This is missions. Think about the implications of what I just said. Okay? Just think about this. This is reality. At least the vast majority of those children, friends, we really, honestly will meet them in heaven. Yay, God! Yay! That was it. That was the big one. That was the big thing I wanted to share. The second distinctive, I was a senior pastor for 9 years, so I get pretty jazzed about this, and it's okay if you don't, but it's their commitment to the local church. And again, this is something God's called this organization to, but what I mean is in the field, compassion only works through the local church. So the way that I usually describe this is if you can imagine a struggling pastor in a developing nation, and he's got hopes and dreams for his community to see God move there, same as you do here. Scarborough or Agincourt, or is it one or the other? Agincourt, okay. Except in his case, maybe he can barely provide for his own family. Well, that pastor partners with compassion, and a year or two later, listen, his church is now 3 times the size that it was. I still have trouble getting my head around this, and they're like, well, that's about average, Jay. But listen, friends, that 300% growth within a couple of years, that's conversion growth. Have you ever heard of anything like this? This is not a church growth organization. They're pouring their lives into the kids. So many of the children come to know Jesus, but not always, but then so often the whole family does. And it's just breathtaking. It's just astonishing to see. I have to tell you something that happened very quickly. My wife and I got to travel to the Dominican Republic to meet one of our sponsored kids. His name's Jordani, and we have a picture, I think, Alex, but it was wonderful. We spent several hours with him at the church where everything's going on, and so we were able to experience some of the curriculum and play with him and be involved in all these activities. Then we walked with Jordani and a translator and a videographer and a photographer back to his home, to actually go in his home, and we met mom and his sisters and what I don't have time to tell you. Okay, but his dad is there, so that's really good. Some of you understand what I'm talking about. In the poorer parts of Dominican, that's not always the case, but dad is still in the picture, so yay. Here's the thing. My wife Sandy and I got to pray with Jordani's mom and dad for them to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Isn't God good? This was, this was a gift to Jay and Sandy. And I need to emphasize this. This wasn't like, you know, really difficult leading someone to Jesus. There was no strain at all. In fact, I felt like I was walking under a tree and a piece of fruit fell in my hand. Yeah, my biggest concern was I didn't want to put any pressure on these dear people. So through the translator, I'm saying, look, we love you unconditionally. It doesn't matter. And they're like, no, we want Jesus now. And so I knelt down on their floor and we prayed together. We prayed through some scriptures about believing and confession and repentance and receiving. But this was the Lord had prepared their hearts long before Jay and Sandy showed up. That's what I'm trying to emphasize, you know? But I truly believe he wanted us there so that we could experience a little bit of what's going on through this ministry all over the planet. See, that pastor that I mentioned, the hypothetical pastor in the developing nation whose church is now 3 times the size that it was, and you know, I have a really supportive church, by the way, at home, and they'll be praying for me and praying for you today. I can't imagine. As much as I love my home church, I cannot imagine what it would even look like if 2 years from now it were 3 times the size it is today for no other reason than all of these people coming to know Jesus. But that's what's happening through this ministry. Isn't that neat? So that pastor, whose church is now unrecognizable from what it had been a couple years before, he's held in very high esteem in his community. His church has become the go-to place for anybody in need, because everybody just knows now, you go over there, they love you over there, unconditionally. Unconditionally. But the church has also become the go-to place for all of these adults who are coming to the pastor and coming to the church and saying, I don't know what happened to my child, you know, who's in your program, but they've changed. In a really good way, they've changed. And I don't know what it is that you have, but I know I desperately need it too. What must I do to be saved? Cool? It is. It is. Okay, they've sent along a video we're going to show right now, if we can, Alex. It's about 2.5 hours long, so I hope you're really comfy. It's about 3.5 minutes. Okay, 3.5 minutes, and then we'll continue.
I am Jennifer Gitiri, and I'm from Kenya. Growing up with a single parent in the slum was very, very difficult for me. Really living hand to mouth, because if my mom went to look for, if she even washed other people's clothes, if she came in the evening with a dollar, that's what we would use to buy a meal and eat at that particular time. If we wake up tomorrow, there's nothing to eat, then we'd take a glass of water and run to school. But Compassion, I opened a project at a church near our home. And for the first time as a young girl, I saw hope. Compassion provided for everything. They gave me books. When I was sick, Compassion would pay for my medical care. And I'm also thankful to my sponsor, who was very, very encouraging. You know, just writing letters of encouragement, telling me that you can make it, you can do it. Your past should not determine your future. I believe my sponsors were God-sent.
When we wrote to Jennifer, it was important to let her know that we really cared about her. I just said what a mother would say. You know, we're so proud of you. We're so proud that your grade card is good and that you've done such a good job.
I remember vividly our neighbor's child was raped. The child was 10 years. And these were the kind of things that I saw growing up that really made me decide to be a lawyer, someone who could speak for the rights of those who cannot speak for themselves. The beginning of this year, I joined the Kenya School of Law so that now I can be admitted into the bar and become an advocate in the High Court of Kenya. This summer, I went to the United States of America to be an advocate. I shared passionately about my story and how my sponsors had made a difference in my life, and they were brought on stage.
Here they are.
It was life-changing just to see those two people who'd sacrificed their resources, who used to pray for me, who used to encourage me. So for me to see these two people was just amazing.
Compassion gave us the opportunity to reach halfway around the world to rescue one little girl from whatever the future might have had in store for her.
It makes me cry all the time when I think of how far God has brought me, you know, from the ditches of poverty to this.
Today I am here as proof that indeed compassion releases children from poverty in Jesus' name. My children will never live in poverty. My children will know the word of God. And when I look at the packets at the Compassion booth, my heart is broken, because 17 years ago, my face was in that packet.
Years ago, she said, if you can't feed 100 kids, feed one. And I think she was speaking to human nature. She was speaking to me for sure, that because there is a tendency sometimes to be so overwhelmed with the size of the need. I don't know if that makes sense to anyone, but sometimes you can just feel like it's so huge and I'm just one person, and what can I do that makes any significant difference? Equally as true as all of the very sobering statistics, and some of you are probably better versed than I in some of that, about how many thousand children perished yesterday, you know, not last year, yesterday, from malnutrition and preventable diseases and all of those things. Equally as true of that as that, though, is that in this room, I know at this very moment, some of you are being instrumental in seeing lives completely transformed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Probably for eternity, if it's through this ministry of compassion. And I know that because you're already sponsoring kids. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Bless you. You are having an enormous impact. It's not just a picture on the fridge. Lives truly are being transformed. I worked it out. It costs $1.36 per day to sponsor a child. It's actually considerably less than that if you pay income tax. Anybody pay income tax here? I'll get to that in a moment, but for our purposes, I just want you to think about that, because here's a child that has very little hope, like Jennifer was, and that same child is sponsored, and friends, they really are thriving now. They're receiving what they need, and they're learning about the love of the Lord Jesus Christ for them. Jeremiah 29:11, some of you will know, my wife and I, it's one of our favorite passages in the whole Bible, and it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you." We have a good father. Yeah, plans to give you a hope and a future. And we're seeing that fulfilled in the lives of these kids that we sponsor. Like, it's just, there it is, right in front of you. $1.36 a day. What's a medium double-double from Tim Hortons? Most parts of the country is about $1.70. Sorry if it's more here. Yeah, so $1.36 each day to sponsor this child. $1.70 for my Starbucks is infinitely more, actually. But worth it. That's just my opinion. Now, actually, here's a thought, though. If you regularly buy your coffee from Starbucks, you should consider sponsoring a village. Okay, gonna wrap this up. I was going to mention about the taxes. This is not my thing, but it's my wife's, and she would say it's important to some people, so mention it. Okay. We went to get our taxes done. We had been sponsoring children for so many years, I don't even know how long, and I'd never even thought to ask this before, because I'm sort of not on that page, but I finally clued in and I finally asked. And at the time, we were sponsoring four children, and I'm just grateful we can. But I asked our accountant, this woman, I said, you know, with your fancy software, when you're finished, could you just punch in some more numbers for me? What would be the difference in my tax refund if we were not sponsoring these four kids? Bottom line, in all these years, I never even knew this. I'm not actually spending $1.36 each day for each of these kids we sponsor. Friends, it's more like 70 cents. I pay 51%. I get 49% back. Never knew. And I mean, if you make more money than I do, maybe you'll have to pay 60%, you know, and only get 40% back. Either way, what an opportunity that I didn't even know was there. Say it another way, for me to sponsor two kids costs pretty much what I thought I'd been spending all this time to sponsor one. There's a word for somebody, maybe. I don't know. But I blurted it out right in the accountant's office, and I have no idea, you know, where this woman is with the Lord or anything, but I just blurted right out as soon as she told us this. I said to Sandy, I said, "Oh my goodness, we got to sponsor some more kids." And so we did. And we got a few more, and one of them was Jordani, and who's now come to know Jesus, and his sisters have come to know Jesus. His mommy and daddy have come to know the Lord, and we will be with them in heaven. Isn't that amazing what the Lord has done? Yay, God. Sandy and I have four children of our own, as Pastor Addie mentioned. They're older. Three of them are married already, and I'm going to be a grandpa. So excited. Well, thanks. Thank you. Yeah. I don't know when, but I figure it's bound to happen eventually. I'm just about done, but I just want to make sure everybody's still awake in the back there. Now, we actually have five grandkids right now. I'm not pulling your leg. We do. We have five grandchildren. Remember I said I'm a wealthy man? The Lord has been so good to us. But our kids and their spouses, at last count, they were up to eight more children that they're sponsoring. Isn't that neat? And if you were to ask them, this is what I mentioned it, because they're young adults, okay? Young adults, new families. If you were to ask them, why do you do that? Why do you sponsor children? They'd answer the same way I would. They'd say, why would I not? Why would I not? The Lord has been so good. This is such, relatively speaking, it's such a little thing, and yet it so represents his heart. This really is an act of worship for us. And it's really become a no-brainer. It's a discipleship issue, really. But I need to mention this one more thing. And it's, I get to go to churches all over Canada, and I big events and concerts sometimes, but I also go to a lot of church services, and I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful to be able to do that. And I wanted to mention something that was pointed out to me that all the years that I was pastoring, I never knew, but it is actually the truth. I looked into it, and that is this. In the Old and New Testament, there are more than 2,000 references to God's heart for the poor and justice issues. Did you know this? More than 2,000. And the reason that I mention it is because I've had so many people come up to me and say, Jay, you know what? I need to pray about this. I need to pray about sponsoring a child. You know what my response is? Wonderful. Really. Because almost anything that I can think about, it's a really good idea to take it to the Lord, yeah? Unless I'm being goofy. Some of you know where I'm going already, I think. My point is this, and I don't want to be misunderstood. There are a lot of really good reasons to pray about this. But if what I'm saying by that is, I need to ask God if it's his will for me to take a tiny part of my resources to help minister to the poor and tell them about Jesus, what do I think he's going to say? You with me? Especially when he's already given his opinion more than 2,000 times. And I would add to that, and I'll wrap it up with this. I can't remember ever in my entire life crying out to God and saying, Oh Lord, is it your will for me to buy this cup of coffee as I go through the drive-through today? Now, I'm not trying to be mean. I really like coffee, so I have a lot of coffee stories. I'm just trying to give perspective. Yeah? In my case, that cup of coffee, even from Tim Hortons, costs considerably more than twice what it costs me to sponsor a child for today. So I'm just saying, not everybody can do this, okay? Pressure's off. Not everybody can do this. If we're honest, most of us can. Yeah? So here's the thing. If you don't sponsor kids yet, that's okay, and I mean it. God bless you. But you can take care of that today. And I would encourage you, please don't run off afterward, because we want to talk with you anyways, but please just go to the tables over here and choose your child, and they'll sign you up. They've made it so easy. You don't even need to have any money with you today. If you can start a sponsorship right away, I think you can understand that it's better, and there's no delay then. And in that case, and they want me to encourage that, and so if you can start a sponsorship right away, would you please just take a CD? There's a guitar guy who's got some CDs over there. But if you can start a sponsorship right now, that's just to encourage that we don't put it off. Please take a CD to say thanks. If you already sponsor kids, again, bless you, bless you, bless you. It would be so difficult to overstate the impact you're having. It really, truly is that big a deal. So well done. But here's the challenge. Would you consider another one? Or more if you can, you know, but at least take home a kid you didn't come with today. Surprise your friends. Pastor, I think I'm done. And again, I just want to say thank you so much to Pastor Addy and the elders and the whole church for the open door, and hope to see you at the tables after.
Thank you. Thank you, Jay. And I want to say something I never thought I would say in church, but Jay, you have wonderful eyebrows. Just kidding. If you walked by the sign outside, you probably saw that for